This is exclusive access into the heart of racing. The Racing Pulse Inner Sanctum.
And it is great to have in the Inner Sanctum Michael Brow, the boss of Moonee Valley, because Friday night's a big night. It is the finale of the night racing season, and it ends with a bang, the Group 1 William Reid Stakes. How are you, Michael?
Great to be here, Michael.
You're looking nice and refreshed.
Tanned, yeah. Just back from 10 days in the States, so... Had a fantastic time looking at some of the great new sporting stadiums down in Atlanta and enjoyed being the guest of the PGA down at the Players' Championship in Florida. So a great trip, and let's put it down as research.
Yes, absolutely. Now, before we get to the research part, what courses did you manage to get a hit on?
I only played Pablo Creek, which is 5 minutes from Sawgrass. I had the clubs there in case I had the opportunity to play the famous 17th, the little island green there, but that didn't come up. But had a fantastic trip. But with the Moonee Valley Racing Club, we secured the hospitality rights to the President's Cup out at Royal Melbourne this December. So great opportunity to get across to Florida, meet up with all the key PGA people to see how they deliver their benchmark event in the Players' Championship.
It's a great partnership, and I know the race clubs are now looking for alternate avenues of revenue. It can't be solely relied on the wagering dollar.
Correct.
And also membership attendances and patronage through the gates. And that's what Moonee Valley Racing Club's doing with this, I suppose, initiative that you announced really in the spring.
Yeah, it's a great partnership to be able to join forces with the PGA. We delivered the World Cup of Golf at Metropolitan last November, but that was just a practice run, if you like. And they're tipping 30,000 to 40,000 people each day out at Royal Melbourne for the President's Cup. It'll be the biggest golfing tournament in the world this year. Tiger Woods, of course, captaining the American team, and Ernie Els captaining the international team. So it's a feather in the cap for the Valley to win that contract, and looking forward to delivering an outstanding event this December.
Well, infrastructure-wise, over there obviously looking because of the big new redevelopment at Moonee Valley. Did you learn anything? Is there anything that you'll implement in the new Moonee Valley building?
Yeah, we had an opportunity to head down to Atlanta. They've just done 3 major sporting stadiums. They've built a brand new baseball park, a $600 million investment. But with that, they've got 700 apartments, retail and commercial, in a standalone precinct. So that's similar to what we're looking to do with the redevelopment out at the Valley. They've just spent $200 million on an upgrade to their basketball stadium, but they own significant land between it and Mercedes-Benz Stadium, so they're looking at apartment towers and retail and commercial as well. And the highlight, of course, was Mercedes-Benz Stadium, where they played the Super Bowl last month, an investment of $1.6 billion, and we were there on game day. The Atlanta United soccer team won the premiership in their second year last year, and they unfurled the flag, and 78,000 people there. The atmosphere was incredible. But to see how the facilities development has progressed across in America, that gives us an opportunity to bring some of that and implement that into the new grandstand we're planning at the Valley.
And is the timeline still on target for the start of the redevelopment and hopefully the finish of it?
Yeah, it is. So the challenge at the moment, of course, is a softening property market, but we're set to hit the button on the sales program for the townhouse product. We're just crossing the T's and dotting the I's there with a contract with the builder. We expect to be in market shortly on that. But the plan still is that the last race meeting at Moonee Valley will be the 2024 Cox Plate. We'll close down then for a period of 18 months and rebuild a new track and grandstand from there.
This weekend, a little bit closer to home, Friday night, the final night meeting of the season and the Group 1. Now, have you got the final field for the Group 1, the William Reid?
Hot off the press. So the Keogh Holmes William Reid Stakes, $500,000 Group 1 over 1,200. In alphabetical order, we've got 11 runners. Battle Hero, Champagne Cuddles, Dothraki, Alakazoom, Embrace Me, Foul Swoop, Shoals, Sprite, Sunlight, Voodoo Lad, and Written By. So a very competitive field there. I'd expect Sunlight's going to come up a pretty short favourite there after her fantastic win in the Newmarket Handicap a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, no doubt about that. We'll bring you the barriers as soon as they come through as well, and it'll be intriguing with Written By also coming back into the Group 1 William Reid on Friday night. You must be very happy with the night series once again. It seems to get stronger and stronger each and every year.
It's been a fantastic season. So 17 meetings in the night racing season for the Valley this year. Of course, we kick off on grand final eve with the big Group 1 Moya over the 1,000 metres there, and Vedora notched up another Group 1 sprint win at the Valley with that. really keen to see how she steps out in Dubai Saturday week. I think she'd be a big chance in that race. And, of course, we came through then for the Mankato Stakes, so we had almost 14,000 people there as part of a record two-day Cox Plate Carnival attendance of more than 51,000, and Brave Smash won a very competitive Mankato Stakes. And, of course, the third of the group ones is this Friday night, but it's been a fantastic season. Attendance has been strong, wagering up more than 16%. Really happy with how it's developing.
Yeah, and I think it's developed a bit of a cult following too. The Friday nights, no football on, and I've got no doubt the best coverage at racing.com do of any race meeting, whether it's even the Saturdays, is the Friday night, from the talent they've got on camera to the fun that they have and getting the information across. And I think that's what people, it resonates so well with.
Oh, it's grown an audience for sure. And the team at racing.com, led by Jason Richardson, have done a fantastic job in bringing that to life and having that dedicated 4-hour telecast where there's no interruptions and they can, it's the narrative, it's the personalities that they can showcase with that, and it has developed a cult following.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that at all. Just talking about the racing at the moment, I want to talk more about Moonee Valley as well, but Matty Stewart was just in here talking about the trainers and how we are getting some of them squeezed out, the Heath Connors situation. Have you, as a racing administrator, got any viewpoint on that? There's a working party that's going to be talking about this issue, but it's a very big issue, it's a very important issue, but it seems like it's a difficult one to try and find an answer to.
Yeah, I guess when you have 850 licensed trainers here in Victoria, it's going to be hard for them all to make a living. As we know, there's not a lot of money to be made out of training fees, and you see the distribution of prize money, it is heavily skewed towards those top 5 or top 10 trainers. So the conversation certainly needs to be had, but yeah, we've seen it evolve in recent times now to enable training partnerships. There's obviously an opportunity for those great horsemen there that are struggling to make it on their own to team up with another trainer. And it might be a case of 1 + 1 = 3. If they can combine their skills and complement each other, they can build a solid business. But sustainability is a concern there. You see it in the jockey ranks as well, heavily skewed towards the best jockeys making the lion's share of the money with that. I just heard Matt talking about a potential second circuit, if you like. I'm not sure that that's the right solution. You don't want restraints on trade with that. At the end of the day, trainers are training for owners.
That's it.
Yeah, you've got to make sure that owners have the best opportunity to make a return on the significant investment they put into the sport. And I wouldn't want to see a situation where you've got a defined two-tier system. Saying that, it does work in Japan, where you've got the JRA and the NRA, but it's a very different model where I think the maximum number of boxes a trainer's allocated is 60. The maximum number of horses they'd have on a 60-box licence would be 100. So it's one that we need to consider carefully, but I'm not sure that trying to pull the good trainers or the most successful trainers back to the field is the right solution.
Yeah, it's one that there's going to be a lot of discussion, a lot of debate on, and the one thing that does keep coming back, and it's a very hard thing for those involved because it's their passion, it's their love, their livelihood, that there probably are too many trainers and that the pie does not feed everyone.
Yeah, I grew up in a training family, and my father worked full time, and he trained a small team as a hobby. I had an uncle that was a full time trainer, very successful through the Northern District, and he had a couple of star horses when I was growing up. But it's one that it's no different now than what it was 50 years ago. And when you've got 850 trainers, it's hard to cut the pie so that everybody gets a fair share.
You were away for the inaugural running of the All-Star Mile. You're a shareholder in this great race. It'll be run at Moonee Valley in a couple of years' time. Where did you watch it?
In a hotel room in Florida at 2 a.m. in the morning. So tuned into that, and it was the right result, I think. And congratulations to Adam Trinder and the team there behind Mystic Journey. Of course, we saw her at the Valley on Cox Plate Day last year with a great win. The potential in her is enormous, and to get that big win under her belt on the back of her Australian Guineas win sets it up for what should be a great spring for her. But to see her sit 3 wide and then power away from some very good horses, she's a star in the making.
Oh, absolutely. What was your overall, view once it was all said and done on the concept itself and how it was put together and performed?
I think if you have a look at it first year in, if you were to mark the card, you'd say it's a great success. It was delivered quickly. I think it was signed off in November from memory, and all credit to Racing Victoria and the VRC to work collaboratively to bring it to life in a very short space of time. So I think we can sit down over the next few weeks and do a review of the concept. I'm sure that there's some opportunities to tweak it so that we can continue to improve it. But I liken the concept that it'll be split across the three tracks, and you saw how Flemington delivered it on Saturday. Look forward to seeing how Caulfield want to bring it to life next year, and then we can do something different with it under lights at the Valley in March 2021.
And that date will be the same date for all clubs on the Saturday that's just gone?
Yeah, or we'll do it on the Friday.
On the Friday, sorry.
Yeah. So it'll be that mid-weekend there, or the weekend after the long weekend. So for us, we'd incorporate it into the race meeting we had last week with the Alistair Clark Stakes.
Yes, okay. And the tweaks, there's been a lot of talk about tweaking the wild card, the voting, whether it's prize money or the rating. I'd imagine as a shareholder that you would sit down and be involved in conversations about next year's parameters?
Yeah, of course. And you know, whether or not we need to look at the baseline benchmark, whether 70 is high enough, whether it needs to go to 80 or even higher. I'm not sure that one of the measures of success on this needs to be how many nominations we get. We had 130 nominations, I think, in the end with that. So you'd like to keep it to 50. I'd like to keep it to 50 genuine horses, and whether you had a two-tiered voting model where you culled it down to, say, the top 25 or the top 30, and the voters had a second chance to do it. But let's sit down and have the conversation. I think when you look at the wagering numbers that came through, the punters certainly embraced it. It didn't matter that there was three or four horses that were 200 to 1. To see $65-odd million across the whole meeting is a fantastic result for the industry.
Well, it was a staggering increase, up 51.6% higher than the corresponding Blamey Stakes meeting last year, which, of course, there were a lot smaller fields last year, but that is probably, once again, contributed to by the fact that you've put the new race and the race day on around that.
Yeah.
So a 50% increase in turnover year-on-year is quite staggering.
Yeah,
really.
I wouldn't necessarily just focus on that 50% increase and do the comparisons with the Blamey Stakes meeting last year. I think what you need to do is look at the other two feature autumn meetings we have here in Victoria, Blue Diamond Stakes Day at Caulfield and Super Saturday at Flemington, and they're all around that mid-60s in wagering turnover. And across those other two meetings, you've got the multiple Group 1 races. Of course, the All-Star Mole doesn't carry any black type at this stage, but I think to achieve $65 million is a fantastic first-off achievement.
Attendances released yesterday also said that throughout the Festival of Racing, they were up 25%. The attendance for All-Star Mole Day was, I think it was just under 17,000 or just over 16,000. Are you happy with that, or do you think we should be getting more than that to the track?
Oh, you'd like to break through the 20,000 mark, and there was certainly enough marketing behind it to generate a higher attendance than that. But it's hard to launch these events first year in. I don't think there was massive ticket giveaways to build that or seed that crowd, if you like. And also two Grand Prix weekend in Melbourne, there's plenty happening. So we probably need to take that into consideration, that the sports fan gets spread thin and wide on a day like that.
You mentioned Mystic Journey. She could be at Moonee Valley come October as well. Adam Trinder has already said that is the race we want to focus on, the Cox Plate. Unfortunately, we won't get to see the Mighty Mare Winx, even though I've got no doubt she could go back and make it five in a row. But it is a new dawn, a new era, and will that almost be a new regeneration of excitement for this year's Cox Plate?
Yeah, of course. It'll be the 99th running of the Cox Plate, and every year there's a great story. We've absolutely loved the last 4 years with Winx and what that's delivered. It's been an incredible time to be associated with the race and the club, and even the broader benefit across the racing industry. So looking forward to seeing Winx this Saturday, and then I'm sure there'll be a big Victorian contingent heading up to Sydney on Queen Elizabeth Stakes Day for what should be her farewell. But until they come out and say 100% she's retiring there.
So you're telling me there's a chance?
If there's a chance. when I see Debbie and Peter and Chris up there on Queen Elizabeth Stakes Day, I'll just plant that seed. And you never make a decision on race day, but I think if they will retire her, the announcement would come after this Saturday.
They'd want the build-up.
They'd want the build-up. So I'm sure the ATC will put on a spectacular show, whether it is her last run or not. And you'd expect that Randwick should be chock-a-block full for what would be a very special occasion.
There's no doubt about that. Have you started to make calls, though, to connections of horses who could be potential Cox Plate runners? Have you spoken to Bob Peters about Acadia Queen and got his intentions?
The conversations are ongoing. Bob, of course, made the statement after her great campaign that because of the Regimate issue that his preference would be not to come to Victoria. We'd like to think we can get that resolved. I think he said that he'd be focusing her campaign towards a Golden Eagle in Sydney instead. But we'll go through now as we get through the Autumn Carnival and the dialogue will continue with all these key domestic but also the international horses. The key international meetings are kicking off. We saw the Hong Kong Derby last weekend. We've got Dubai next Saturday. As that progresses, as we start to construct what should be a high-calibre field for the 2019 Ladbrokes Cox Plate.
Just on the Golden Eagle, has that been a source of frustration for yourself a week after a $7 million race focused on the four-year-olds?
It is what it is. And you know, I think the challenge they have up in Sydney is to extend their carnival out for another month or so. It's interesting that they've elected to put the big money behind these new races and one of the key races in Sydney, like the Epsom Handicap, doesn't seem to get the prize money it deserves. So I'd be keen to see how they can spread their investment, particularly across marketing, to try and attract a crowd through a prolonged period. Let's see if it's successful. We'll just focus on what we need to do to make sure we put on a spectacular Cox Plate Carnival.
Have we worked out how these huge prize money races are being funded in New South Wales?
Oh, it comes out of the coffers of head office, I think. So there was talk, I think, when they announced it back in December that there was a new funding stream coming through. I don't know if that was a new bet type. I haven't heard any more on that. But, yeah, I think all PRAs have had the benefit of the increase in wagering and joint venture revenues and race field fees. Yeah, we've got different approaches on how we spread that across the industry with prize money. And Racing New South Wales is elected to put on a mega race with the Everest. Now, half of that's funded, of course, through slot holders, but half of it's funded through the industry, and then, of course, a $7 million Golden Eagle race. So it's up to them to work out how they allocate their prize money.
We've got the final field, which you've announced, and the barriers have just come through onto my desk for the William Reid Stakes. So the order of the race and barriers... We're just missing number one here. We might try and get that back, but I've got number two, Voodoo Lad, barrier seven. Number three, Dothraki, number four. Barrier four, I should say. Number four, Battle Hero, barrier two. Number five, Shoals is in barrier five. Champagne Cuddles, 10. Sprite, 6. Elikazoom, 1. Written by 8. Sunlight, 11. And Embrace Me, barrier number three. Now, if I missed one out there, the press release I've got here just starts from 2 to 11.
Which ones I was trying
Voodoo
to...
Voodoo Lad, Dothraki, Battle Hero, Shoals, Champagne Cuddles, Sprite, Elikazoom, written by Sunlight, Embrace Me.
Did you say Sprite there?
Yes, Sprite's in there, barrier 6. All right,
We'll work that out,
but anyway, that's a little confusing. But they are the barriers. Sunlight has drawn the Extreme Outside, barrier 11, Shoals has drawn 5, so...
I think they'll be disappointed with that with Sunlight because she drew in the Manicato.
That's right.
Got caught on the rail.
It'll be interesting, though. So that will be a very tactical race on Friday night. After the last night meeting, do we go into refurb mode at Moonee Valley in the build-up?
Number one, just on that, Fell Swoop, did you have him?
No, Fell Swoop's the one, barrier 9.
Fell Swoop, barrier 9.
There we go.
So field of 11. Got an extended break this year. We have a hiatus after we get past Friday night and we don't return to racing until early August. So we're undertaking a significant refurbishment of the track to bring it up to a standard which will get us through until the redevelopment. We've done renovations we do it every second year and try and get back in June, and it's always a bit of a challenge to have the track at its best for those winter meetings. So we've made the call to have an extended break, give the track every chance to come back and be in fantastic condition as we kick off the new season in August.
Yeah, well, it is going to be a massive build-up to the 99th running of the Ladbrokes Cox Plate. And Get in early. That's the story, isn't it? Because you can book now for the Cox Plate.
We're on sale next month, so we're just finalising all the packages at the moment, and we look forward to launching that. We do that late April. Members, of course, have priority, and then we open it up to the general public. But we've had two sellouts with the Cox Plate the last 2 years on the back of Winx, and keen to make sure that we can carry that momentum through as we celebrate the 99th Cox Plate this year, and then look forward to a massive build-up to Cox Plate 100 in October 2020.
And Friday night, you'll have the footy on the big screens. Get out there to Moonee Valley. If you haven't been out to the night meetings, it is fabulous fun. The weather's holding up really well this week as well. So for those who want to get trackside, other than the hot action on the track, what else is there?
Yeah, certainly come out, although you don't feel it today with the weather out there. 30 degrees, I think they're tipping for tomorrow. That'll blend into a beautiful night at the Valley. Plenty of entertainment on course. We've got the music, food trucks coming through. Being the last race meeting for the season, there'll be an opportunity to walk the famous Moonee Valley straight after the last race. We'll have giveaways from the barriers there that'll go down the home straight after the last race. And, of course, it's the final heat of the Ladbrokes 55-second challenge. So a young trainer, Logan McGill, he's got a nervous wait to see if his time of 54.77 holds up with written choice. So it'll be fantastic for Logan kicking off his training career if he can be banking a $55,000 check come Monday morning.
That would be a huge result for him. As you said, that would be an unbelievable kickstart to his career. So that's going to be the added excitement. You'll get to see all the action on racing.com. And as I said earlier, I gave it a good pump up the Friday night coverage, but it'll be a little bit different this Friday night. No David Gately there. The news yesterday, he's left.com to go to Sky, which he's been no doubt a great part of the Friday night coverage.
And he's been a great member of the Racing.com team and TVN before that. He's a bit of a quirky character. He's a little bit eccentric, but he's been fantastic for us. He's been fantastic for the Victorian racing industry, a great ambassador for our sport, and I wish him all the best as he moves across the Sky.
And a new young gun slips into the saddle, Benny Ascari, who is very astute. He will be on Friday night's coverage with Jason Richardson as well. Just a quick one on Gately too. We had David on yesterday, and it was nice of him to come on there, but there was a little bit of confusion about David telling racing.com on air. I can categorically say that is not the case. He did tell racing.com prior to coming on air. We wouldn't have done that here on RSN 927 if that had been the case, and David Gately would not have done that either, personally making an announcement saying that he was leaving the company on air. That was conveyed to them before he did come on air. So I just want to clear that up. Michael, great to see you back looking fresh and relaxed. Can't wait until Friday night for the great William Reid Stakes meeting out there. And then we count down to the 99th Cox Plate. And I still like how you are saying there is a chance the mighty mare may be there.
As small as it might be, let's keep our fingers crossed.
Good on you, Michael. Michael Brower, the CEO of the Moonee Valley Racing Club. We've got more to come after this.